B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, I never thought that it'd ever come down to this. You know, I respect the joint drug, treatment program, and unfortunately, we couldn't figure out how, this particular substance got into my system. And at the end of the day, it falls on me to try to, prevent that. And unfortunately, it's somewhere it got into my body, and I don't know how. But it is what it is, and I just got to try to move on from it.
It's amazing how these guys never know how it happened. They never know. It's just, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to find out how that happened.
Well, this guy's a load. I mean, you almost feel bad because there's no way he works out. you look at his foot. He's skinny fat. He is what he is. He's skinny fat. That's what these pitchers are. You tell me he's like pumping Metrex or Ultra Fuel or Andro or going to some lab to say, oh, I need something to help me get another 3 inches off my sinker. I almost believe him. You ever watch those documentaries where someone goes swimming in a lake and some sort of like bacteria gets through the ear and monsters inside me eat me out through the inside of me? You get eaten out from the inside out. And like somehow something gets in you, but I don't know how it got in there.
Well, he's not doing...
Stop it, Jim.
I don't know how that got inside of you either.
Lack of food.
He didn't get suspended though for steroids in the traditional sense,
right?
Anabolic steroids. He got popped for HGH, which makes perfect sense for him. He's coming back
right
from this knee injury that obviously has taken a lot to the point where it needed microfracture surgery.
Yeah,
and he's in the same boat as Dustin Pedroia. In my opinion, he's a perfect type of candidate for someone who should be prescribed some HGH. Like, yeah. Give it to him.
Yeah.
Let him have it. Hopefully he can, I would want that for any player.
See, when you come out and you say you respect the process, right, and the testing and all that, and what's going to, that means you you did it.
Oh, stop it. Yeah. I don't know how it happened.
Well,
don't
fall it up, yeah. I don't know how it
happened. I don't know how human growth hormone accidentally ended up in my bloodstream. I have no idea.
Well, you see, he snores at night.
Oh, you hear it all the time, the stupidity of
He snores at night.
It had to have been a tainted supplement.
Yeah, he's on one of those BiPAP machines that he injected into the machine, so he breathes it in. He doesn't even know it. You know how he took it.
By the way, there's really no need for them to keep this guy.
He's not available anyway.
Send him on his way. Get rid of him. Be done with it. Just be done with it. Goodbye. Goodbye. See you later.
I like knuckleballers. I think they're fun to watch, but no, there's no need to keep this guy around.
None.
No.
Can't play in the playoffs now either. You know that, the John Heyman rule. the John Heyman memorial rule there. Because you know how these baseball writers are so proud of that rule for their sport that they don't allow guys who've tested positive for things to play in the playoffs. That's why, in their mind, Julian Edelman shouldn't have played in the Super Bowl.
Correct.
The jealousy from the baseball writers for football is unbelievable. It's so unbelievable. But for Steven Wright, see ya. Be done with him. Move on. I thought they should have moved on a year ago after he had the offseason issue with the domestic violence. Bye.
Yeah.
See ya. You have no time for this. You're not good enough for this headache. Because as we know, in sports, sliding scale always.
Sure.
The better you are, the more chances you get.
Absolutely.
But he stuck around, and I would move on. If I were the Red Sox. What is the point? You've got a guy who's going to turn 35 this year, a 35-year-old with a bad knee, so bad that he needed the HGH to try and continue, being somewhat of a player. Goodbye. Move on. No point. There's really no point to keeping him around. So we'll see how that develops over the next few days. Meanwhile, Alex Cora told the media today that Dustin Pedroia, speaking of guys with bad knees and microfracture surgery, Dustin Pedroia is going to play today. That was planned. He's going to play 2 innings and get an at-bat. Do you know what time he put on his uniform?
Let me guess, he slept in it. Little leader slept in it.
4:30.
Showed up there at 7 a.m. He had the uniform on, ready to go.
He's such a tool bag.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, he didn't show up.
Yeah, according to Alex Corey, yes.
Did not show up in his uniform.
That is what Alex Corey said.
A badass. What a badass bro.
I can only tell you what Alex Corey said. Alex Corey said that Pedroia was the first to arrive at Jeff
Just remember. Lugan. Remember they won without him last year. Just remember that.
He was in uniform at 7 a.m. The game is at 1 o'clock. The game is on for another 2 hours.
Ah, look at me. Oh, this is the stuff that bugs you with this guy.
It doesn't bug me.
It doesn't?
Or no. Everybody knows that they won without him last year. Do you not want him on the team at all?
I really don't care.
I know. That seems to be your mantra today. You just don't care. Don't care if Pedroia is there. I want him there. I think he is their best defensive option at second base. Yeah. I have no idea what
he's doing. You really believe that?
Yeah, I still do.
You want to take a young kid and stick a young kid in
there? Yes. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you could possibly believe that.
Defensively, I'll take Dustin Pedroia playing.
You have the Dustin Pedroia of 2.5, 3 years ago, maybe.
I'd say Holt could keep pace.
Until proven otherwise. Brock Holt, I have no idea what his offense is going to be, and that's what worries me the most.
Okay, see, I totally disagree with this. I think that anybody can still hit. He could still hit with a bad knee.
Oh, I don't know.
The problem with the bad knee is moving, getting to first base, getting to a ground ball, all of that.
He'll be all right.
Don't you trust Cora, though?
In what sense?
Didn't last year make you trust Cora to make the right decision?
About what?
If Pedroia can't play second base, he's not going to play second base.
Oh, I agree with
that.
Well,
yeah.
So let it play out in spring training. See what he does. So you're saying there's no chance he gets back to form, Beetle?
I don't trust him defensively. I really don't believe he's going to get back to being the same player.
I just don't. With that new knee, who knows?
He doesn't have a new knee.
No, it's the same knee. The new plasma knee. And all that crap that's in there.
I just keep going back to that press conference with Dombrowski. And he says, hey, he's got a bad knee. You people need to realize that he has a chronic knee that is never going to get better. And the only thing he has to do is deal with pain. So now all of a sudden he's going to be able to deal with pain for
him. Pedroia thinks his knee is worse off. He regrets the surgery. Yeah, he told us that.
I would do it differently. He
thinks
he said
the knee
that.
Is worse
You're
now
right.
than it was before.
You're right.
The question is whether or not they should move forward with the default expectation of Dustin Pedroia playing second base opening day. And I think that's the right call right now until proven otherwise. And if spring training proves that he just can't handle the position anymore and he can't move laterally and everything that's bothering a guy with a knee seems to be present with him, fine. Then it's obvious. And I'm with Jim. I would expect Alex Cora to be able to recognize that and make that call. But if you're just thinking about it, right, and
okay.
you're molding your training and your games and everything with a certain expectation, the expectation for the Red Sox should be Dustin Pedroia is your starting second baseman. That's what I feel is correct.
You know, the season begins 3 weeks from today, right?
Okay.
And he's just able to take an at-bat today? One at-bat and maybe two innings in the field, they're hoping?
I think he was probably ready before. But
and you think you should bank on that to be your opening day starting second baseman?
Sure.
That seems rather insane.
Do you think he's just ready now, or this is the start of the timeline to get him ready for opening day?
Start of timeline.
I think this is the start of the timeline to get him ready for some point this season.
Well, that's how they had to get rid of Hanley because of him. Just remember that.
What?
They had to get rid of Hanley Mares last year because he was coming back.
Oh.
Remember that timeline?
Well, that's...
I'm just timelining everything.
Right. That's not true, though.
Well,
that's not... That, I'm not buying that.
You release statements like that as a team.
They got rid of Hanley Ramirez because they wanted to get rid of Hanley Ramirez.
Yeah.
That's why he's not here.
We all knew Pedroia's coming back. That was said by the team. Yeah.
They did do it as part of the same transaction.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dustin Pedroia then lasted 3 days.
Yep.
Three. They're hoping for better results this time, I'm sure.
This is like, this to
but
me.
But to count on him, I don't know why you would even think it's like counting on him.
This is like fantasy camp. Like, you get to wear a uniform, wake up, sleep in it, you show up today at 7 a.m., and you're in full uniform.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We doing this now?
What's that, Hardy? No, what we were just talking about off the air? No. Mandated fun, 11:50.
Listen to me.
What?
Because I have a question that I will pose to us about this subject that will make you think about things in terms of your quote-unquote favorite.
Right? Okay.
Okay. Actually,
well, go ahead.
Three questions.
Pose them.
You want them right now?
Yeah.
No, I don't want them now.
No, but I got to think about it.
I don't know. I don't want them now.
Well, what if I have to think really hard then, and I can't come up with anything at that time?
What are we doing? What are we doing it? What are we doing it? And that will decide when I give you the question. 50.
Half hour.
Okay.
Give it to him the break before we
11:45. I'll give you the question.
Okay. Give him a couple minutes lead time on that.
Okay.
Okay. Good. You all right? We mentioned briefly Dustin Pedroia being here, being around. Is that a good or a bad thing for the team? In your mind,
I think it should be a decent thing for the team. And he's a good human being. He wants to play. He's tough. I think he gives them some kind of leadership. I think it has changed over the years. I think the public perception of Pedroia has really changed over the years. I don't think people would give two winks if he wasn't here. Really. And his team has won without him.
Well, here's what I think works in his favor. They won last year and he was around. So it can't possibly be a bad thing. How could it be a bad thing?
I don't think it could be a bad thing. I think you can give you a little bit of help or... It wouldn't be a big deal if he wasn't here. That's all. I'm not saying, oh, my God. You know, like when Ortiz left, there was a massive, massive vacancy leadership.
Okay, here's where I could say, you know, I say, how could it be a bad thing? Here's how I would assume it might be a bad thing. At what point do guys like Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts and even Jackie Bradley Jr., even though I would have traded him in the offseason, the young core players on this team, and for me it's really Betts and Bogaerts, at what point do they say, why is this guy still here?
And he's making that bank, too.
Why is he still hanging around? At what point is this my team?
I mean, but don't be angry for him signing a contract that he signed at the time, because that's what they had to do and that's what he had to do. See, this is the thing. You can't...
I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about contracts. I'm talking about just being sort of the veteran lead. Those guys are turning into veterans now. Guy's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts has been the MVP now.
I mean, we talk about it with the Celtics leadership, right? Talk about it with the Patriots, same stuff.
Xander Bogaerts has played not in one, but two World Series and won both of them.
Mm. See, people forget that. Like, you always say Betts, Benintendi. You even bring up Jackie Bradley having, you know, big spots and big games.
Well, he's been around long enough.
Bogaerts is like the forgotten one, you know?
Bogaerts and Betts. And more Bogaerts. You know, I think there's an infielder's thing.
Yeah, now. Yeah.
Or he's just like, what?
Dude, I'm like shortstop for the freaking Red Sox.
I'm not listening to you. What are you doing here? And I don't know what the dynamic is. I don't know how much he's, you know, sort of asserted himself other than just been a guy in the corner. We know David Price loves Dustin Pedroia. That we know. Those guys are buddies.
Yeah. Well, they've been through it, you know?
But I will say this. He didn't get in the way of them winning last year.
Right.
He didn't get in the way of winning. And so... I guess you could say, well, it's not going to hurt them in the wins and losses and how what they achieve. It didn't last year. But I hope he plays. Not just another year hanging around, not playing. 617-779-0985. Your call's on everything. Don in Rhode Island on Kyrie. What's up, Don?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Hey.
Good. Hey, Zo. How you been, buddy?
Good, Don. What's up, man?
I remember watching you go and... watching you play football, man.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question, okay? First of all, two questions. One, Kyrie Irving, I think, for the Celtics, they should release them. Just let him go where the hell he wants, or even better, sit him, and let him come off the bench and see how he acts. Uh-huh. So all these other teams in the league will see what he's worth, okay?
How do you think that's going to go, Don?
So you want to try and hurt his value to other teams so that he stays?
No, I want to see what character he has by coming off the bench.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see that.
He's top 10 player in the league.
You're not going to see that happen.
All right. Here's his second question.
All the good that you build with these NBA players will be out the door in a second.
That would be detrimental to the Boston.
You might as well sell that building over there on the Pike.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know because... there's too many of these guys playing this role all the time out there in the league, okay?
What role? What do you mean?
What I'm trying to say is You got guys like Kyrie Irving. You got guys like Carmelo Anthony. These guys think they can just come in and make what they want for money, and they claim to be leaders of the team. But if he was a leader of a team, he would have been out there last night.
Okay, that part I do get. You want to be a leader. You want to prove something. You want people to respect you. Be out on the floor last night. If you're you know, banged up a little bit, communicate with your coach and play fewer minutes last night. There's something to be said for that. Where was Kyrie last night with his thigh bruise? But by the way, don't compare Kyrie Irving to Carmelo Anthony. Let's not be ridiculous, okay? Let's not be crazy. Ralph and Cranston, what's up, Ralph?
Hey, guys. First of all, with Kraft, I've got to say, you know, he could have taken that program. He didn't have to go back, you know, just hid for a year, whatever he had to do, and just accept it and say, but he's fighting it, and he's putting himself through much more embarrassment. You know, the cameras will be in there. So it's not a courageous thing, but I've got to say, at least he's fighting it. He's not running away. I think his lawyer is brilliant and has some great points. And we're going to see that a big portion of, I mean, this wasn't human trafficking. This was about prostitution and arresting and embarrassing as many of these guys, these right. Johns, as you can. We're going to see that. You know, that's really what this thing was. Really,
if he
about.
Wins, it's off his record. I mean, period.
Well, no, if he goes, when you plead not guilty, you have to show up. You know, some people are saying, well, because he's not a flower, he's a Florida red. No, you fight it, you go to court. If you don't fight it, you go into a program, you stay out of trouble and gets dumped. But can I mention Pedroia for 1 second,
sure.
guys? All right. You're seeing the effects of a ridiculous thing that they did. And I laughed when they did it, when they re-upped him with 2 years left on his contract. Because he was a dirt dog. He hit everybody loved him because of the way he played, and he was breaking his body up. So now, I mean, you say he's in camp, but you owe this guy another $50 million. So now you're looking at it different. God. If you hadn't did that, you wouldn't be in this position and waited. You know, and I say the same thing, but a little different with Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is the best player. I love Mookie Betts. But you still have him for 2 years. You have other things that are in front of him, like Sale. And you also want to see, you know, where this market goes any further. Because, look, you're going to have to pay this guy anyway. People say, well, let's offer him something. No, he's not taking a discount. It's not like you're going to get him for $25 million if you sign him now. So the same kind of concept. Let's let him play out this year. You know, hopefully he doesn't get hurt, any major injury in the next 2 years. And then when it's over, that's when you kind of – or you start negotiating next year. You don't even touch Mookie Betts at this stage as much as you'd love to sign him long term. Let's deal with what that hand right now, Bogart, Sale, and those guys.
Well, I just think they're in different positions. I'm trying to remember exactly how old Dustin Pedroia was when he signed his last contract. Because Mookie is, what, 26? Is that how old he is? 26 years old? I'll tell you right now. But I just view it as different situations. Pedroia's 35, so he was, what, 29?
Yeah. Yeah, late 20s.
It's a three-year difference. A three-year gap there. Mookie's 26. Mm. Pedroia was approaching 30.
Look at the players. Two different players at different points in their career.
And let me give you this. Mookie Betts is a far better player.
You never said Pedroia's superstar. Like, you see Betts, it's superstar. You know, MVP type. I don't know if Pedroia had his years.
No, Pedroia was really good.
I know, really good. But you never viewed him the way that Betts has talked.
Well, he won the MVP in 2008.
I know he did. I know he did.
So he's done that, too. They've both done it.
Differently, I think.
Differently?
I would say Betts, as far as being dynamic, yeah, absolutely. Flash, more flash.
Yeah, no, Betts is arguably the best player in baseball.
Right.
That was never the case for Dustin Pedroia.
Pedroia, like, over-hustled. Yeah.
Pete's in Delaware. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I called last week, and I said if Kraft had to show up in court, he lost. And Facebook Live was instituted last year, and he's showing up. It's about waiving objections to admitting certain facts, which means in front of everybody, he's going to be there. And the fact that he doesn't want to come out, maybe they won't in the trial, but they're still going to be talking about it when he goes there on March 28th. So in my opinion, the fact that he has to show up and talk about the facts, he may win the case, but he's totally lost it in the public. And I'm sorry it's gone this way for the guy, but I think it's a big mistake.
But I think that applies even without the appearance in court. If you think it's a big mistake to fight it, it's a big mistake to fight it.
How are you going
to
feel any differently about him than what your perception or what you think actually happened or your decision as you made full well going with what you know? Well, okay, you got the video, you got this, you went back twice. What do you think people think? How are you going to think differently when you see him standing there in court?
You're not going to think differently, but what it will do is reinforce what you think.
That's all.
I'll tell you what changes.
He's doing this to save money and just potentially not get suspended or
fined.
Can
I tell you what changes in this case? And it's a minor thing, but when you watch local news or you watch whatever it is, you know, TMZ, mm-hmm. when you watch those things right now and they talk about this case, what are they showing imagery of? What are they showing you? A lot of still shots of standing on the sideline yeah. with, you know.
Or talking to Brady at camp.
Talking to Tom Brady or on the sideline during a game. Or
him at the rally.
Stock yep. video of him with the Super Bowl trophy in his hand yep. on the, you know, stage with the commissioner.
Yep.
Winning the Super Bowl. Do you know what that footage turns into
him
after
in
March 28th?
Him in court.
Him in court and him walking into court.
Yeah.
It's a small difference. It's a subtle difference.
Right. No, but it's like
perception wise, that's one thing that will change.
And I'm not comparing it to because it's not they're not comparable. But like Aaron Hernandez, when you were talking about Aaron Hernandez, you're not showing any more videos of him catching balls from
No, do you know what the video is? It's him getting led out of his front of his house
the perp walk.
With two police officers.
Yeah.
And him with a t-shirt yep. that's over his arms.
Yeah. Perp walk.
That's now what gets shown. That's a subtle difference. Small. But it's a difference. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to more of your calls coming up. Mandated fun at 11:50. And Zoe, you'll get a little bit of lead time on that, okay?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five is the telephone number for you. I did want to mention one other baseball item that popped up yesterday. I don't know if you saw this one. It's sort of flown under the radar, and that is Major League Baseball lineups this year. You know, typically they come out on the PR account of the Red Sox or the writers who are at the ballpark see it posted, and they all post it on their Twitter accounts. There's going to be a little bit of a change this year when it comes to the lineup each night. Teams will now be required to submit the lineups to the commissioner's office before they are posted. You might say, well, what does that matter? Because they want to submit it to the commissioner's office in advance of posting it publicly or announcing it publicly so that the commissioner's office has time to send it to their gambling partner, MGM, and give them the heads up on who's in the lineup. Before the lineups are posted.
So before the writers get it.
Correct.
Why do you need writers then? Why do you need a beat guy? Why do you need a guy to post an ad up?
Well, no, because once it's made public, what do you
this
mean?
This is getting to be like, remember the NFL, you would get the draft picks before the draft picks would actually come out on Twitter and that? This is like you're getting the news before the news.
This is reported by Peter Gammons that per MLB's gambling deal with MGM Resorts International, each team's lineup will first have to go to the commissioner's office rather than the team's own public relations office. Which is mind-boggling to me anyway. Because, wait, who is it that has the power to call? Who is doing the submission of the lineup to the commissioner's office? I would assume it would be someone on that staff, but apparently not. This is so that what? MGM can adjust their lines accordingly before the public gets a hold of the lineups?
I think it's great. I think you want to make gambling like legit and make it not seem shady at all. I mean, it's shady to begin with, but this adds some legitimacy to it. The sports books can adjust their lines first, and then the public knows what happens. So you can't like sneak in there for 5 minutes while the lineup's posted before they change their lines.
No, you're right. I think MGM and all the books in Vegas should absolutely get the edge. Mm. They need it. No, you're right.
Is there any other sport though? Baseball, if a starting pitcher's not going for some reason, and that's not known publicly, you can go bet the other team right away as soon as you see it.
Why could that have not happened a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 10 years ago?
It's becoming legal everywhere.
Yeah, and again, so we want to make sure that the book doesn't get duped. I would hate to see
casinos or sports books.
I'd hate to see them in the media,
but why should the media see it first?
You know what? It's just a tiny slap in the face to guys who are down there covering this team day in, day out.
What does
it
have to do with the media? The media puts it on Twitter as soon as they see it. There's a race every day among those beat writers to get the lineup.
Who's got the lineup first? Right.
Right. And it's just
and that's just them doing their job. And by the way, the team typically tweets it before anybody in the media does, because they have it before everyone else does. No, you're right. I think we owe it.
But Jim, if you're down there covering the team every day, and for some reason you want to know whether you're doing a hit with radio or TV ahead of time, or you've got something that you want to start writing about, you got to wait 15 minutes. The casinos need it before you do. Never mind the fact that you've been traveling with this team and with them every day.
It's like a kick in the nuts that people covered a team.
Yeah, for 20 years. No. We're going to change the rules now. We're going to make sure the casinos have the information first before the guys who are here so much that they're practically part of the team. But yeah, you're going to have to wait.
Oh, don't leave out the key element there, because the casinos are paying us millions of dollars. Okay? So don't forget that part of this. This is all part of a deal that the two sides have. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Got an expert on about this?
Tory Krug of the Boston Bruins is with us. Hey, Tory, what's up?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's going on? You miss us not being down there at Warrior?
Yeah, I miss you guys. I'm sure you're a little warmer, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, we are. We absolutely are.
We were complaining too much coming back here.
When's your next tweet? When's your next shot at Brad Marchand on Twitter? When's that happening?
I don't know, man. It's whenever I get a good opportunity to put a licking on him, I guess.
You got to break his balls. When he wears the skinny jeans from behind, he looks real bow-legged. Yes. It kind of shortens him even more.
Yes.
We got short jokes. Hardy, you got short jokes?
Well, I had an idea, and if we were going to be with you today, we were going to provide you with a series of one-liners to come back at Marchand with, but we can try it now. You're just going to have to come up with them on your own. So, Zoe, let's try one. You play the role of Brad Marchand. Okay. Just say something.
What's up, X-Lax?
There you go. Say something quickly derogatory to Tory. Let's see what his response is. Go ahead.
What's up, little defenseman? How's it going back there?
I'm supposed to come up on my own?
Yes.
Well, you hockey guys, I tell you. So nice. Yeah, come on. Fire back.
All right, what's up, Nose Face Killer?
There you go. All right. Perfect.
Hey,
perfect.
Heard the South End called. They want to build some new condos inside your nose.
Oh, man.
Don't tell him that one. You get so pissed.
Yeah. Don't tell him that. Who's taller? Who's taller out of the two of you?
Who's taller? Yeah. Well, I always was always under the impression that we were going to leave that up to everyone to guess, but I've been measured taller for a few years in a row now.
Well, yeah, but that's being, you know, that's all like right. The officially listed
now, you
measurement.
Tori, you got to get creative here. You go to Google and you go to the Oompa Loompas from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and you superimpose his face on the Oompa Loompas with other small people from around the world.
That's not bad.
It's not a bad.
There you go.
So you you guys are both officially 5'9", but you're saying that when you get down to like the centimeters, you edge them out a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you got to go metric system. There is what the key is.
Metric system.
And that, you know, by going system, you're sort of bowing down to Marchand with him being Canadian and all.
Oh, yeah. Worse.
So what started all this was Marchand's on Instagram now, and he wants people to start following him. So that's what started this back and forth between he and Krug was chirping him.
It felt like he chirped you first. That's how I saw this.
Yeah. Typical.
Yeah, well, I actually don't know when it dated back to. It's actually been a long time in history that it's dated back a while. But I'm not sure who exactly was first or what, but it's been a good little banter back and forth. And he takes the best of him because, you know, he can dish it as well. So he's been good about it.
I just wonder who does his Photoshop work when he Photoshopped you into Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. There's no way he's doing that himself.
That's a good question. I have no idea. I know he was a little... He told me he had something for me, and he didn't know if he could pull it off, but he did a good job. So I don't know who actually did that for him, if it was him. I hope it was him. You know, we don't need any third parties getting in on this.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's true. No. We don't need that. That's not clean competition. Let's talk about your hockey team and how you're playing right now. You got to win the other night over the Carolina Hurricanes at home, comeback fashion, overtime win. We talked about that game after the fact, and it was the type of game where if you looked at it and you looked at the run you guys had been on recently, it wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world if you had lost that game, but you didn't. You didn't. You fought back. You clawed back in that game and won it. And as I said the other day, I think it just kind of speaks to the mentality you guys have had recently. Yeah. Is that right? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, you're spot on. I think, you know, especially if you look at the beginning of the game, we lose Johansson in there early. We're down 2-0. Very good team comes into our building. They're hard to play against. And then all of a sudden, we're down 2-0. And we easily could have packed it in because we've been on a little bit of a streak here now. And but, you know, that's not the mentality that our team has. We have a never-die mentality. And we knew it was going to be a full 60-minute game. And obviously it took longer than that. But we're able to come back and just keep pushing. And that's been from leadership on down. That's been the mentality of this team for a long time now.
You know, the way your goalies have been playing, and I know, you know, I think Tuukka's going to get 10 starts. You know, maybe a lot get 7, you know, the rest of the year. They say a guy could get too hot. Can you get too hot before the playoffs start? You've been on teams here where you guys have rolled, you know, through March. You get there and you end up getting popped.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's something that I think every team, you know, that is in that situation, you know, faces. That's a question that you face every single year. So we've done it in the past where, you know, we've been hot and then all of a sudden you get to playoffs and you're trying to, you know, refine that touch and you just can't get that magical touch back. But that's a question that you always face and you're always doing your best to just keep pushing forward and you try to grow your game and just get better and better. And then once the playoffs start, you want to be playing your best. So there has been times during this little streak that we've been on that, you know, maybe we didn't deserve to win, but we somehow found a way. So we're not perfect, and we're just going to continue to strive for perfection.
You had a big win against the Lightning the other night. Do you get any kind of sense during a game like that, especially after a win, how you would fare against a team like that in a 7-game series?
Well, they're an opponent that, you know, we actually know very well. It's been a long time, obviously, before that game that we had seen them. So from game the first time that we played them around to that second time, we were a completely different team. So, you know, they're an opponent that we know well. We know their depth. We know their, you know, what they've been doing this season. It's been pretty special. But you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. So obviously, we have a long way to go before that. But we know what's in store for us if we ever do get to that point.
Is home ice in the first round important to you? Is it important to the team? Is it anything that you've discussed in terms of looking at the standings?
Yeah, it is. You know, we haven't talked about it just because we're trying to enjoy this stretch that we're on and try to continue that growth. But I think it's critical. I mean, we play so well at home. We do on the road as well. We're a good road team, but we play great in our building. Our fans are unbelievable. It's not an easy place for other teams to come in and play. They feel like it's a smaller surface and like the walls are caving in on them. So that's something that you know, we're pushing for, and we want to get it for first round for sure.
All right, Torrey, coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk about the fact that it's National Cereal Day. So final question from me. Favorite cereal. All right, we're just gonna
keep it basic.
We're gonna get a lot more in depth probably in the third and fourth hours of the program. But for you, make it easy. Favorite breakfast cereal.
That's a good one. I grew up eating Pebbles. That was my the sugary cereal, Fruity Pebbles, and then I graduated into Lucky Charms as I got older.
Yeah, that's
oh god,
more sophisticated.
Yeah, I mean, definitely more of an adult move.
I'm young at heart, so I'm well. I don't want to tip my hand, but it's a phenomenal choice. You know what? It's good.
Yeah.
Good Michigan kid, love it. Yeah, good choice.
All right, Torrey.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Torrey.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate the time. Tory Krug on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Nothing like Lucky Charms, and those sweet charms, those marshmallows that taste like glass, like heart.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We'll get into it more, but I'm with you, Zoe. I'm not a fan of marshmallows and cereal.
Well, then you're all fools. You're all damn fools.
Yeah, right?
All right. Break your teeth.
National Cereal Day and Mandated Fun next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can we have fun?
What is fun?
I demand that we have fun.
Let me spell it for you.
Okay.
Friends who do stuff together, do it for you and me.
We're going to be careful with this topic this year. Careful. We're going to limit ourselves.
Yeah, God forbid someone gets pissed.
This day last year, we talked about
single
cereal.
Yeah, it's a big day.
We got in trouble for it.
And we don't plan our kids' breakfast. Hey, what do you want?
Told us to knock it off.
It's kind of interesting.
Knock it off. Yeah, go ahead.
It's kind of interesting. Like, the kids eat something different every day. And it's like never the same thing. Today, they both had cereal.
So let's do this, Hardy. What are the questions about National Cereal Day that need to be posed to us?
First question is, you got to eat one cereal every day for the rest of your life. But on the last day of your life, you get to go hog wild with a different cereal. Really? What are those two cereals?
Okay.
One cereal every day for the rest of your
life. This is really difficult.
It's difficult.
I love cereal.
It's easy.
But you're going to have to eat one every morning. You can have other cereals, but every morning you're going to have to start your day with the same cereal for the rest of your life.
Crunchberry.
You're eating Crunchberries.
Crunchberry.
I wanted to say that, but I don't think you can eat that every single day.
It tears your mouth off, but hey, I burn my mouth on pizza too, and it always comes back.
See, I'm going with something a little more sensible. I'm going to go with either, like,
I would
just
say
plain Cheerios.
Like sensible. There's two things I would look at.
Sugar next hit or not?
No, you can add like bananas or blueberries.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
You preface it with that.
Honey Nut Cheerios is one. The other one is Special K with the red berries, the strawberries, cut up strawberries.
All right, so the last day of your life is really your favorite cereal. What's your go-to cereal? What is your favorite
awful sugary cereal?
I like Raisin Bran.
That's not in that category.
Ton of calories, very sugary.
And if you bite the raisins you get a good burst of sugar out of those raisins.
Sneaky sugary Raisin Bran.
That'll fill you up.
Crunchberries is in that conversation strongly.
Love Crunchberries. For me, it's much like Tory Krug as a young man, Fruity Pebbles. I love Fruity Pebbles. Now, this is my final question
disgusting.
For you. You're going to be in an eating contest. Like Joey Chestnut, Peter X.
Okay.
You know, the guys down Nathan's Hot Dog, 10 minutes. What's the one cereal that you can crush more than anyone else? You can sit down and you can polish off. Well, you got 10 minutes. You got your cereal. You got your milk. You got your spoon. Eating contest. You get to choose the cereal. Your cereal would be
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Not bad. I think it sogs up just enough to where you can really shovel it down.
A lot of ounces there.
And keep adding to it.
A lot of ounces.
A little more milk, a little more cereal, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Apple Jacks.
Hey, that's a good one.
You
I'm with him on this. Yes.
Yep. I think Apple Jacks might be too crunchy for an eating competition.
Yeah, let's sit there.
That's true.
Bit.
If you don't have time to sit,
Golden Grahams,
I don't think it works.
Golden Grahams gets nice and soft. Golden Grahams pretty
Golden
good.
Golden Grahams are delightful. Let me tell you something about Golden Grahams.
Oh, you know something about that.
You want to give yourself an extra special wintry treat?
Yeah.
Put your Golden Grahams in a bowl, pour your milk on, stick it in the microwave for about 20 seconds. Soften them up. It's like a warm
oatmeal
type of Golden Graham.
Because if you let it sit long enough, it turns to cold oatmeal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Warmed up Golden Grahams.
Yeah.
I'm going Fruity Pebbles again. I can absolutely crush a big box of Fruity Pebbles. I've never done it, but I know that if I sat down at my kitchen counter with a bowl of Fruity Pebbles, I could do the whole box in one sitting.
Right.
Never done it, but I'm certain that I could. I'm certain that I could. They're that good, Beetle. A little more milk, a little more Fruity Pebbles.
How do we not bring in some cereal today for this occasion?
The TV element makes it great because Josh at TV, NBC Sports Boston, has, every time you mention a different cereal, he has stock footage of that cereal ready to go.
Let's name a cereal.
Cocoa Puffs.
We're going to try it.
Cocoa Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, there they are. Wow. Grape Nuts.
Grape Nuts is another great one in the microwave.
These Nuts.
Fruit Loops.
Grape Nuts are one you pack if you go camping or if you're going on like a long trip because you could sit there and it fills you up.
There are the Fruit Loops.
And you don't need a lot.
On demand.
Let me see if I can throw them off here.
Okay.
Quisp.
No, come on. We went over this last year, what? You and the Quisp.
What?
It doesn't even exist anymore.
Yes, it does.
And you can still get it?
Oh, you find it.
What about
like
Trix?
It's a novelty like end cap item you'll see in like Roach Brothers or your like Stop and Shop.
Is that to get Jim to turn them on?
Look, Jim's turned on.
Negligee cereal eating.
What is she eating?
Okay, I don't know. It's real creepy, though. Okay.
That looks like a Raisin
Bran. Look how hot that is.
Getting shirtless guys eating cereal on the simulcast now. That's nice.
How did that happen?
I don't know. All right. So Zoe's Raisin Bran. Beetle, your Crunch Berries. But Zoe's Crunch Berries, too. I love Crunch Berries, but I don't buy them because the kids don't eat them. So.
Oh, my kids love them.
No, my kids won't. They won't do Crunch Berries. Nice. They do love Lucky Charms, though.
They do. My kids love Lucky Charms and Crunch Berries. They're a big fan of both.
Yeah. Number one cereal in America is?
It's got to be Cheerios.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
That's disgusting.
I told you. I said that would be one of my considerations for every day.
Yep.
Honey Nut Cheerios would be on that list.
Honeycomb's like a pretty good one, too.
When's the last time you had a honeycomb?
When I was a kid.
Not as good as you remember. Yeah, I had some recently.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.